Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll give reading to verses 6 through 10. We're considering the nature of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave. That tells us something about the nature of God's love. We've considered some things. We come now in our time together this morning to consider the manifestation of God's love. Romans 5, let's begin with verse 6 and read through verse 10. And as we read, keep in mind we're looking for the manifestation of God's love, or the recipients of God's love. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I call to your attention three words. Helpless, sinners, enemies. For the recipients of God's love, I want us to consider those three areas: sinners, enemies, helpless. We are sinners by birth. We are born sinners. We are born guilty of Adam's sin. We are born with a nature to sin. David knew that. Listen to the words of his testimony found in Psalm 51, Confession of His Sin. And here is what David said: Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, I'm going to read for you, and I want you to listen carefully, very carefully, to the words of our confession of faith. Our first parents, by this sin, fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and we in them. whereby death came upon all. All becoming dead in sin. And holy, that's not H-O-L, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, totally, absolutely defiled. In all the faculties and parts of soul and body. That's the words of our 1689 Confession of Faith, having to do with sin. Let me just add, that confession can be found on our church's website. So if you would like to do some good reading sometimes, go to our website, find the 1689 Confession of Faith, read through it. This is what we believe as a church. Now, the Confession of Faith also states, from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good and holy, not H-O-L, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly inclined to all evil, do proceed all actual transgressions. Sinners, born sinners. With a sin nature. God loved sinners. Christ loved sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What does Isaiah say about all of this? Isaiah says all of us like sheep have gone astray. He didn't say half of us, 75% of us, 99% of us, all of us. All of us have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, Christ. We're not only sinners by birth, dear ones, we are sinners by choice. We not only have the guilt of original sin, the original sin of Adam, we have the guilt of our own actual sin. What is sin? Do you know? What is sin? Well, here's some help. The Old Testament word that is used and translated sin actually means to miss the mark, like you're shooting a target. At a target with a firearm, with a bow and arrow, your idea is to hit the target. To miss the target in the Old Testament concept is sin. That is missing the standard that God has set for man. What a glorious standard God has set. And by the way, you can find it in the Bible, known as the Ten Commandments, the immoral law. We are told that by the law is the knowledge of sin. There are many New Testament words containing the concept of sin. Let me give you a few. Fault, guilt, injustice, offense, transgression, unrighteousness, wickedness, to name a few. Let me suggest this definition. Sin is any thought, word, attitude, or action which does not perfectly comply with the holy character and will of God. I know some of you are taking notes. Let me go over that again a bit slower. Maybe I can help you get that jotted down. Sin is any thought, word, attitude, or action which does not perfectly comply with the holy character and will of God. Sin is going contrary to God. It is also retreating from God. It is turning your back on God. It is defying God. It is shaking your fist in the face of God. It is ignoring God. It is being weary of God. In a very real sense, in essence, sin is setting one's self up as God. Was not that the very essence of the first temptation? Turn with me to Genesis 3:5. Setting yourself up as God. Look at Genesis 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You'll be like God if you listen to what is going on here. They're being tempted to become like God by disobeying God. Sin is refusing to allow the Creator to be God as far as you are concerned. In your decisions, your conduct. In essence, it is rebellion against God, your creator and your judge. There's another word found in our text. that we read earlier at the beginning. It's the word enemies. Look at Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Because sin is rebellion against God, the sinner is considered to be an enemy of God. God's enemy. There's many ways we can state it. Listen to this. Sin is diametrically opposed to the nature and the character of God. In its essence. Here's another definition. Sin is a violation of every attribute of God. It's enmity. I want to explain this. The Word of God tells us that sin is enmity to God. Do you know what enmity is? I don't even know if I can fully describe it. It is vile hatred. That's enmity. Turn with me to Romans 8:7. Because the mind is set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And when the scriptures say that sin is enmity against God, it does not say sin is at enmity. There's a big difference. It doesn't say sin is at enmity with God. It says sin is in its very essence enmity. The best way I can illustrate that would be this. If you could have a block of enmity laying on the table, and you took a butcher knife and you cut it, it's going to bleed enmity. You cut your thumb, your finger, your arm, whatever, you're going to bleed blood. What's coming out is going to be blood. And if you cut sin anywhere, it's going to bleed. Enmity against God. Sin is walking contrary to God. Sin is fighting against God. Sin is rising against God. Turn with me to Isaiah 45:9. Isaiah 45:9. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you're making say, he has no hands? It's striving against God. Sin resists God. Sin resists his authority, his sovereignty. Sin resists his rightful dominion over us. And those who are plotting the crucifixion, what were they chanting? What were they saying? What were they proclaiming? We will not have this man rule over us. That's the very essence of sin. Let me describe it this way. Let's imagine sin, degrees of sin. This is a little sin. This is even a little bit worse. This is a terrible sin. Let's try to think of, in our mind, what would be the least sin you can think of. You ever hear the expression, oh, it's just a little white lie? Would that maybe be the least sin you could think of? Not killing somebody. Little sin. The least, if we can categorize them, the least sin you can think of or imagine, if it could be carried out in the expression of its very essence, it would kill God. It's all there in that very little essence that we might think of, oh, it's just a little sin. But if that sin could develop and go its way and carry out its very essence, it would annihilate God. Charnock says, sin implies that God is unworthy of being. In its very essence, sin is saying God is not worthy to even exist. And think how we can play around with sin, joke about sin, laugh at sin. I'm not saying that all of us do that, but I'm saying people are playing with the very thing that will damn their souls in hell. Let me continue with Charnock's quote. Sin implies that God is unworthy of being. Charnock goes on to say, every sin is a kind of cursing God in the heart. An aim at the destruction of the being of God, not actually, but virtually. Not in the intention of every sinner, but in the very nature of every sin. Turn with me to Proverbs 21:4. A high look, a proud heart, And the plowing of the wicked is sin. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? You mean the guy that's out there plowing his field to sow and reap a harvest and feed his family is sin? That's what I'm saying. Why? Why is it sin? Because it does not proceed from a heart that is right with God. You get the point. The sinner is the enemy of God because he has not submitted to the authority of God. The next phrase I want to just touch on, our time is pretty much gone. For while we were still helpless, it speaks of the inability of man to bring about his own salvation. And we're talking about God's love. Ephesians chapter 2 says, even when we were dead in our sins, God quickened us together with Christ. Why? He loved us. He loved us. And I want us to conclude our time this morning by contemplating God's love for those who are yet in their sins. What an amazing love that is, God loving sinners. And you know, he loves each one of us sitting here this morning. God loves his people. We're studying about God's love, learning more and more of what God's love really is. For our own spiritual encouragement and good, and to give us desires to witness to others of God and his wonderful, glorious salvation from everlasting ruin. God loves us. Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence this morning, thanking you that even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, even though when we were rebellious against your overtures of love and concern, yet you loved us. And that love is eternal. We know that once you set your love upon us, that you will love us for all of eternity. We pray that even today, this coming week, that we may rejoice in that love as we have our time of devotion. May we be mindful of that love as we deal with others who do not know about you or your love. that we might see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.